this wasn't originally, of course, it wasn't originally the state's plan to do any of it, I guess. They didn't originally plan to move it, right?
I'm sorry, then. It wasn't their plan to move the building?
Yeah.
No, I don't know if it still is a very high priority. As far as buildings are concerned, I mean, the building's very functional where it sits. It's just contaminating the Kenai River. They've used thrown oil out there, and they've stacked salt and everything else there for 30 years. And we've already spent, I don't know, somewhere around $1.5 million in cleanup on that property now.
Eligible for 470 funds?
I wouldn't think it would be. Evo's clean up money too.
Hey, pardon?
Can we ask the OPU to come to the table?
We have the same money. We appropriated $600,000, which they haven't spent yet, last year for environmental cleanup. They've obligated it for step two. But we took interest earnings off one of the 470 funds and appropriated it to this, which, by the way, has a little bit more money in it this year, the same fund that we went into last year, which probably could be appropriated for the same cleanup. But they I don't know, they're sitting on about $1.2 million in there, as I remember, that is unobligated for either moving the facility or environmental cleanup that's been appropriated in the years past.
Chris, did you want to?
I'd like to ask DOT, and I don't mind hearing the bill move, but I really hesitate. First of all, I don't think that Soldotna should have to bond.
Do we have DOT representative come to the table?
That goes to their bonding capability, too, right?
Probably. The deep pockets are still the state, I think.
First.
I guess I want to know where this project is in the priority list for DOT, and is the cleanup eligible for 470 funds, and if so, why has the state chosen to try to bond for it rather than use 470 funds, because why would we want to pay interest on an environmental cleanup?
Just for the record, my name is Nancy Slagle. I'm director of administrative services for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. This is a high priority with the department. There has been requests and received appropriations in over the past 3 years, I believe, for some environmental cleanup and some preliminary design and work on and basic introductory work for the dealing with this issue. There was a couple of previous appropriations were out of the 470 fund for the cleanup portion. There is money sitting there that's available for design and working on a road this summer to go to the new site.
Sitting where?
The new site is going to be on a borough land.
There is money sitting there.
Oh, it's in appropriated this fiscal year for, yes.
Yeah.
And there was money appropriated in 96 also.
The road?
No, that was for cleanup, I believe.
Has all the cleanup money been spent?
Not all of it. There is still some money that's sitting there that's committed. I don't believe it's $1.2 million. I believe that we had received like $600,000 for preliminary work, and I'm going to guess about, I don't have the numbers with me, but I thought it was $400,000 to $500,000, but I can get that for you, specifically how much we received and how much has been expended to date.
I'd kind of like to see a spreadsheet on the whole thing in terms of the cleanup and what and the other state costs above and beyond this $4.5 million, because it sounds like we've already spent on the road and we've already encumbered some at least on cleanup. And do we know yet what the cost of cleanup is going to be?
Well, as part of the $6 million figure that we had identified, $400,000 for demolition of the old facility, and then approximately 900,000 that we could use towards the cleanup. Unfortunately, we don't know exactly how extensive the cleanup requirements are going to be, and we won't know that until the old facility is removed.
And is the 400,000 eligible for 477, the demolition?
The demolition, no.
Sure.
I'm positive that that's not actual cleanup, that's actually removal of the old facility.
Yes, Senator Torgerson, sorry.
The actual numbers are a $600,000 appropriation, of which $583,000 remains. Another appropriation is $137,000, which the remaining balance is $19,085. That was for one of the environmental cleanups.
How much is that?
There's $19,000 left in it.
How much was the?
$137,000 was the original. And then the last one was $400,000 was for preliminary work on the site and to start clearing the land and doing a bunch of things that way. There's $329,000 left of that, and they haven't done anything on the land. I don't know what they spent the $80,000 on, but so I would guess that's $8-9 million, right at $1 million that's sitting there. And there's currently another environmental cleanup, which this doesn't show. And I don't have the numbers on that one. It seemed like it was $300,000, but I think that's been completed. That was on the shop drains and cleanup on the backside of the shop.
So that's right, Senator. That, but of that amount, only a certain amount was for cleanup as opposed to preliminary design and work.
You have $650,000 about for cleanup. Plus the $300,000 or $400,000 that's already been spent on cleanup.
Okay. I think I understand. I just
maybe I should make copies of this, but that was the request. I don't know if it.
Okay.
It shows the $500,000 contingency and $1.3 million for more cleanup. And then
at our present rate tonight, we better buy the Bank of America building because we've just used up all of our savings.
I don't mind us getting the number if we can get our hands around one.
Senator Torgerson, do you care much whether it's the state or the city doing the actual bonding?
No. Does that for what? I understand the state wants to package some of this stuff, and that probably makes sense. You know, when the sun all sets, they might have a $50 million bond package to go sell, and they're going to maybe save a couple points here and there by doing that. The city's initial response was that they've been trying to get the state to do this and the administration, and the only reason they're acting now is because we have these bills in front of them, and they want to hold their feet to the fire. So if they're a major principal in the financing, then they think all this will be done. And it'll be done under the city schedule instead of some of the other hocus pocus that's been going on. But I received a letter today from the city manager saying no objection to who bonds for it other than they will not bond for an environmental cleanup. The city will not. But if the state wants to, again, they don't have a dog in that fight. They want to get the DOT moved out of there. I personally have an objection to bonding for environmental cleanup when they don't even have a number.
I understand that. Well, I don't see how you can do it exactly.
This particular memo talks, it's not a memo, it's a CC mail between DEC. It talks about the $600,000 left in the previous response. And it says DOT believe that another $250,000 should do it. And this was dated on the 19th of March of this year. So.
Would your title preclude the state doing the bonding?
Probably, since it has, well, I don't know.
You guys know?
Well, I don't know. The city of Soldotna would be the lease purchaser.
That's all my questions.
Where is the committee on this bill? Are we talking amendments here, or what are we talking about?
I don't know. You know, I defer to the that area. It's definitely the site. First, we got to get ourselves moved off of it, and then it's definitely going to have to be cleaned up. I don't know whether it makes sense to add $400,000, to have a state bond and add $400,000 for demolition, because I don't think you're saying Senator Torgerson, you have a problem with that. The cleanup question is the bigger question to me, is how are we going to get it done? Financing for environmental cleanup doesn't seem very smart, and we got $50,000 sitting in a 470 fund.
Even if you had a number, it might be okay.
$50 million.
One more time, who owns the property where it's sitting right now?
State.
State owns it. I have never heard of the state bonding for environmental cleanup.
That's a new one for me.
If that becomes a trend, we could be in for a lot of bonding. Senator Torgerson, would you be receptive to taking this bill home for reading tonight and marking it up to where there is the option for leasing? Would that work?
For environmental cleanup?
No. Environmental cleanup is the state's problem. They want to put in for 470 or whatever, they can go through the budget process. But I sure won't go for a bonding issue for environmental cleanup. If that's what they're trying to do here, and it sounds like that's what they want to do. I'm saying the option of the city doing it or the state doing it, and pinning down the location as because you said I thought you said that the city of doesn't really have an objection.
No, they don't have an objection to the state doing it.
So
that's the will of the committee.
Either give them the option or directing, changing to the state, give them authorization.
I think we can go
your
one
problem
way or
is,
the other. I
mean, your problem is the authorization, then they might not follow through with the authorization. Is that what you're saying?
No, I think probably they'd follow through with that. I think the city's concern is that they'll get the money and sit on it and not move forward with the project right away. And if the city was to get a bond on it, they think they can control the project. I think a few of the numbers that the department is talking about 99 having to complete it, and the city's talking the summer of 98.
Well, in either scenario, how quickly could they get to a bond sale?
I don't know. I would imagine the city would just sell them and one of the banks would buy it, but I don't know. I don't know what these guys would do. They'll probably just fund it out of pocket and package everything and sell them in a year or so. I don't know.
Horst?
Mr. Chairman,
the mechanics, sir.
I think in either case, whether it was whether the city was a nominal issuer or whether the state arranged it, it's roughly a 90-day process. And I might say that it's something of a myth to think that the city is very much involved in the financing. As a matter of fact, it's the state lease that's financed. The bill envisions the city being the nominal issuer of the debt, which means they show up at the closing and sign the documents. It also means that we double up on the expenses of issuance. I think we testified before on that, and our preference is to try to avoid those kinds of expenses by having the state take the lead in it. But certainly, I think we could work either way, whatever the preference of the committee is.
I don't know. I know that I have three bills in where the city's bond for something, and none of the cities want the state to sell the bonds. They want to take them on all themselves for different reasons. But again, as I said, the city gave me a letter today that they don't have objection either way that we go. So I can certainly draft a bill and have it back tomorrow with the state being the main player in it. If that's the will.
Pierce, what's your opinion one way or the other? Is that sounds like a reasonable way to go?
I think it makes sense to leave the latitude, particularly if we want to look at paying for the demolition, which makes some sense to me, but the cleanup does not. And I don't think you bond for cleanup either.
Well, I think the 4.5 pays for demolition.
Why don't you do that, Senator Tarzan?
No.
Either, however you want to structure it, either with the option of either or, city or state or whatever. And we can, we'll have it on the agenda for tomorrow. If you, whenever you have that CS in front of us, I think we could probably be prepared to move it.
Okay. 6 o'clock tomorrow.
I actually already have it, but that's not.
Well,
I'll put you right ahead of the architect's engineer's bill.
You just have to copy the house bill. It's already done.
I don't know.
As long as
you guys move something?
Yeah, next, we have HB 20.
We didn't.
Ivan's dog motion contest bill.
Funny. Are we gambling again?
Good evening. Good. Want to give us a quick rundown here?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Tom Wright. I'm staff to Representative Ivan. House Bill 20, when it was originally introduced, it was introduced on behalf of mid-distant races or Iditarod qualifying races, such as the Nooshigak 200 and Cusco 300. But in testimony a couple of sessions ago, it was determined that the best way to structure this bill was to have races recognized by the Division of Charitable Gaming, by associations also recognized by the Division of Charitable Gaming, to allow these associations to conduct statewide games a chance. The division has to recognize the associations that have been in existence for at least 3 years, have at least 25 Alaskan members, and be nonprofit. Prizes of money will be awarded for the closest guesses of at least three elements of uncertainty about a sled dog race that cannot be determined before the start of the race, and the intent of the bill is to provide a mechanism to assist race organizing committees to become financially self-sufficient. That's the bill in a nutshell, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. We have Dennis Poschard here, the Department of Revenue Director of Gaming, to answer questions. If anyone has questions of him, anyone have questions of the sponsor's representative? Senator Adams. Yes.
Done with my quorum. I don't have a quorum here.
Senator Donnelly, we need a quorum so we can move this bill. Could you come back?
Maybe that's why I left.
Didn't move fast enough.
Torgus is around the corner.
I move that committee substitute for House Bill number 20. Flying ass moved out of committee with the individual recommendations.
The bill moves out with individual recommendations. Is there any objections to moving it out with individual recommendations? I hear none. It is moved out.
Now you can go.
Last on the agenda, we have HB 145, Teaching Competency Exam for Certification. We've heard this before. There was a request to be held over for...
I have... Everybody
know this?
Yes, yeah, or a draft. Does everyone have a Senate CS draft for Bill number 145B version by Kramer?
Thank you, sir.
Good evening. You stay up late. Have a seat, Representative.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Chairman, sir.
Mr. Chairman. I would move the work draft B, Kramer, dated 4/21 for discussion purposes.
I'm going to object so that I know the changes on this.
Okay. The Senate CS draft version B, Kramer, has been moved for discussion purposes. There has been objection. Discussion is open.
If you look at page 2, section 2, we have changed the language to require
two sections.
title.
I need a Senate concurrent resolution with this one.
Yep.
Huh?
No, you don't.
You changed the title.
No.
Didn't change the title.
Yeah, you did. You didn't ask for it, but Terry Kramer did it.
And to fees charged for regulations of teaching practices.
That's typical Kramer stuff, isn't it?
I was wondering why you're...
Well, that's great. Calculating the certification of teachers shouldn't have to have a title change. Did she ever say anything about that?
No.
Jesus Christ. Excuse my language.
The drafters strike again.
Well, I will strike back at the drafters, but...
I mean, if it's good...
In the meantime, what we did was adopt language, and the rough draft amendment that came over didn't have that. Anyway, we adopted language such that teacher certifications would be fully paid for by teachers. Certifications. At the moment, we put... 186 general fund dollars in, and there's 367 in program receipts, and then 110 in designated receipts toward their $680,000 cost for the component of licensing. And right now, teachers are only paying $125 for a five-year certificate, so that's $25 a year, and of that, $66 goes to public safety for a criminal background check and fingerprinting the first time, and then after that, the department keeps it, but $25 a year is certainly not out of line for a professional when you look at other professional licenses in this state, so we're merely asking that they bring the cost up to fully cover. It will not, under the present program receipts bill, take it off budget, but it's a step in that direction. And I don't believe, Senator Adams, that we need to change the title to do that.
But, okay, that's a dispute that we have later. The other thing is a change of fees. Do we have an update fiscal note to go with your statement?
Yes, because we haven't. But the thing that will change, Senator Adams, there was intent language in the budget as it was passed to the Department of Education telling them to do this. This just does it in statute. And the change, the GF dollars will change over to either program receipts and probably some to program receipts and some to designated, depending upon how they spread it. The total dollar amount, the total GF dollar amount isn't going to change because we're just moving from straight GF funds to program receipts at the moment. So it's not going to change our budget. But we are asking that they pay the cost of their professional licenses like program all of our other licensees in the state do.
Get from the spot.
I'm waiting to be invited.
My sponsor comment on the CS.
Yeah, certainly don't disagree that teachers, as other groups, ought to pay for the cost of their certification or their licensing. I would offer for the committee's consideration, however, that this bill now asks that teacher licensing fee support two bureaucracies, both the licensing agency and the Professional Teachers Practices Commission. And in my view, the Professional Teaching Practices Commission is something like a police force and probably just good public policy. And maybe that is an area that warrants general funding support, or general fund support. But again, certainly no disagreement that the certification process should be supported by the people who receive the certificate.
Senator Pierce?
When you look at occupational licensing and the professional licenses there, whether it's architects and engineers, one of our favorites, whether it's marine pilots, another real favorite around here, whether it's doctors, dentists, whomever, they don't have two separate entities, one that just gives them their license and the other that plays police. Their licensing board does both. Well, this is kind of a unique situation. Why we even have it this way, I honestly don't totally understand. But there is no reason that the teachers in this state, who have much larger numbers than any other group that we do professional licenses for, cannot and should not pay for the whole cost of not only their license itself, but also being policed like every other professional in the state does. Every other occupational licensing board pays for all of its costs, and if they have get into a big legal battle and have to go to court over one license, they all see their fees come up under OCC licensing. We don't have any other group that I know of where we've got two separate boards, one that just certifies them and the other one that takes care of disputes or taking licenses away. So, and I don't think that they're unique. I don't think they're unique in how professional they are. To me, they're no more unique than doctors and dentists and, you know, the other professionals in the state. They're important.
Mr. Chairman, excuse me, just to respond, and I certainly agree they are not unique. I would say that perhaps the two groups exist because the sheer number of teachers in comparison to the number of doctors or marine pilots.
And for two boards, where anywhere else you just pay for one. There are a lot of architects, engineers, and whatever's in the state. Probably not as many as teachers, but I frankly think the Board of Education should take this on. Be more useful.
I guess my only comment is I'm hesitant to give bureaucrats the right to build up their, to justify their bureaucracy and be able to pass it along in fees without anything. The oversight, and that's what this does. They shall annually review each fee level, determine whether the regulator's costs are approximately equal to the fee collection. It would seem to me if they need two or three more people, they might get them, and that'd be part of the fee collection.
It has certainly been self-limiting on the occupational licensing side, and we have not allowed them any new positions. We have just told them they need to offset their general funds, because they're not going to get those anymore, with the funds to pay the cost of this BRU. We're not allowing them new people. We're also not allowing them to go out and spend the money in other BRUs. It's simply the same thing that we do in off licensing, and it has been very self-limiting there.
Okay, so this, we have two people sign up to testify.
General, very general question. This bill tests teachers, right?
Beginning teachers only.
Pardon me? Chair.
Beginning teachers only are tested for competency.
There was a bill, I guess there was a bill to test students and where they are. And to me, that's probably
through the chair, that bill is in process to your committee.
We're trying to, if you do a testing for measuring what they learned or supposed to learn in certain periods of their education. I don't know whether this was, you know, this right here was, I guess, why was it introduced or why the bill?
Through the chair. Senator Phillips, it's a basic screening test. I was brought to my attention that there are people who graduate from college who, frankly, are not literate, and they become teachers. And this is an attempt to raise the confidence level in general public that we are getting the best that we can get as far as teachers. I know in other states when they've introduced this, they've screened out a number of people. Certainly, graduates of the University of Alaska system, I don't think, will be screened out because they are screened before they get into the educational program. But we still hire about half of our teachers annually from outside lower 48 colleges. And this is simply the first initial screening so that we are assured they have basic literacy, basic competency in general teaching area for elementary school teachers, and then in their specialty if they're going to teach secondary English, math, whatever.
Senator Adams?
How does this bill affect it? It goes to beginning teachers, but how does it affect bilingual teachers and substitute teachers that we have throughout the state?
Mr. Chairman, in order, the law states that in order to receive your Type A teaching certificate, anybody who wishes to qualify for one of those would have to pass the screening test. Now, we have Dr. Buell here from the department who could give you more details than I, perhaps. But certainly a substitute teacher in some cases is not a certified teacher as long as they work under the supervision of a certified teacher. But if they are to be in charge of children and not, as I understand it, and not under direct supervision of another teacher, then they must have a license and would be required to pass the certification test.
Or if you don't have a bilingual test, whether it's in Spanish or Inupiaq, then that can be approved, I think, by the commissioner.
Well, perhaps you want to ask Dr. Buell, but Mr. Chairman, yes. Senator Adams, there's a basic test for knowledge of basic literacy and knowledge of teaching, and then if someone were teaching Spanish, they would then be required to pass a test showing their knowledge of Spanish or Inupiaq.
Any other questions of the sponsor at this time? Let's see, we have the CS on the table, which probably the sponsor of the CS is going to amend the title. On the CS?
Those will have to fight that through with. Our friend. How about if you just adopt the work draft with the original title?
Adopt the work draft with the Hess version title?
That motion's out of order. We have a motion before us, I think.
Okay, I'll amend my motion. I might add that the section of law that this is in is all teacher certification is 1420.020, and we had B, and all we did was add a C, and so I don't see why we need a new title. I would amend my motion, which was to adopt the work draft B. Kramer 42197, to adopt work draft B. 42197 with a change on lines 1 and line 2 that would delete the language and two fees charged for regulation of the teaching profession, period, and put a period after teachers. Ask unanimous consent for the amendment.
I'm going to object. You know, one of my things with the addition of the language in here, I just want a legal opinion, and if NEA supports this, then I think we should go ahead. But I would like a legal opinion just basically if we can do that without the fee structure that is included in the language, and that's my only objection to it.
Then why don't we do this, Mr. Chairman? Why don't I just remove my motion and let's wait? And we'll try to get that from Ms. Kramer and see how late she wants to work tonight and have it back at 8 tomorrow morning.
Right, and perhaps your language is just great, the act related to certificate of teachers, period, and with a legal opinion that we won't need the extension of the title.
Does John Sire, do you want to testify on this tonight?
I can while I'm here, Senator. Pleasure of the committee.
Why don't you wait if you're available tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning.
I hate to have you sit here all night, but we'll have the CS in front of us tomorrow morning corrected.
Time?
Depends on how quickly we get.
Yeah. It might not be, it'll probably be towards the end of the agenda tomorrow, but it will be in the morning on the agenda. Depends on drafting, getting it out properly. We will hold that bill in for redrafting. That's the last thing I have on our agenda. Tomorrow we'll start in at 8:30 instead of 8 o'clock. And since we're working a little over tonight, we will have tomorrow HB 133 Architects, Engineers, Surveyors, SB 88 Board of Public Accountancy, HB 13 Marine Safety Training and Education, SB 11 School Debt Reimbursement for further discussion. There's some clarification that we want to get on a couple sections that's being added there on exactly what they do on items 8 and 9 that's in the bill. That's Halford's SB 11 bill. And we've asked the Department of Education and the drafters to come explain in detail exactly what that does one more time, since we didn't quite get specific answers.
Secretary told us in having amendments on Senate Bill 21.
Yes.
I haven't done already. But what I already had that drafted. What I asked the Nancy Slagle to do is to give me some numbers to back up anything that we're doing here. So I'm not sure. I mean, Senator Pierce raised the issue of demolition, and to me that's included, and it has been included. And they're saying now that it may not be. So I'm trying to get another breakdown of what we're buying. So when that comes in, and they said they'd have it to us in the morning. And
okay.
So I'll have that ready to go by 9 o'clock, I'm sure.
Well, that bill and the teacher certification bill will be on tomorrow.
We'll also have Senate Bill 21 ready to go by afternoon, which is the Marine Highway Task Force. I wanted to get with Senator
task
Taylor.
Force.
Or not task force, the authority.
It goes beyond a task force.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have the we'll have that draft, or hopefully we'll have it by then.
When? Okay. Tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow afternoon. We're going to meet again in the afternoon?
No, not tomorrow. Thursday night is no meeting. Correct, Larry?
But tomorrow afternoon we're not either?
No, we've
got a conference committee.
At 5.
The conference committee at 5 tomorrow.
No session.
I know we weren't having a session, so we'd meet in finance. So we're not meeting in finance either.
Well, we're going to meet until noon or 12:30.
Yeah.
Caucus tomorrow night.
And I can go home.
Since there's no session tomorrow. Well, you got meetings tomorrow, too. Well,
we're starting at 7, but I mean, if we weren't going to meet in the afternoon, we should have rescheduled our meeting until.
No.
Not evening.
We're starting at 7.
What is some?
Our clock is 1 until 3. We don't have.
We just have a finance conference committee tomorrow.
It's just us.
Are we adjourned, Mr.
Chairman? We are adjourned.